Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I am grateful for your time as we continue to explore verse 10 of Genesis chapter 3. In verse 9, God asked Adam this question, "Where are you?" And in verse 10, Adam answers God by saying, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Genesis 3, verse 10. And last time I made this observation. There is a radical difference between Adam's relationship with God prior to this verse and Adam's relationship with God at this verse. And we took a brief journey back through Genesis chapter 2 and one verse in Genesis 1, reflecting on man made in the image of God, to see how peaceful was the relationship between God and man. Adam had no fear of God. But here at verse 10, Adam expresses, "I was afraid." Man is now afraid. The voice of God, which always was a comfort and a joy to the man, is now heard as the voice which makes him afraid. And what marks the great difference between God visiting man in Genesis 2 and God visiting man here in Genesis 3? The answer is clear. The man's sin. Sin separates us from God and makes us afraid of him. Let's move on now to a second observation. In this 10th verse, we find that Adam was more concerned about the consequences of his sin than he was the sin itself. When Adam tells God that he is afraid, he is right to be afraid. But the fear should come from his disobedience, not his nudity. Notice in your copy of God's Word that Adam says, "I was afraid because I was naked." I was afraid because I was naked. He connects the fear to his nakedness. But in a proper understanding of sinfulness, the fear should be related to the act of disobedience. Let's hear from our friend H.C. Leupold again. He says, "For while Adam's conscience thunders in his breast that this fear is the outgrowth of his disobedience, his mouth utters the half-truth that it is because of his being naked." End quote. No doubt Adam was afraid. That part of his statement is true. But the reason he was afraid is a lie. The man's fear, which drove him into hiding, came from his sin. God told him not to eat of the fruit of that one tree, and he did it intentionally anyway. I hope that you might remember what I said during our overview of verses 9 through 13 on Monday of this week. When God comes calling, asking these questions of Adam and Eve, he does so in a spirit of grace. What God is doing here is to draw out, to bring them both to repentance for their sin. God desires that they come out of hiding to him, and that by doing so they willingly confess what they have done as sin, as wrong, and by coming quickly towards God, they cast themselves on his grace, mercy, and compassion. He wants to show the man and the woman that they are sinners in need of his amazing grace. But Adam does not do that. Instead, he acts like a coward and chooses further deceit. You have heard it said that when someone gets caught doing something wrong and apologizes, the feeling is they were only apologizing because they got caught. It is not that they are genuinely sorry for the wrong they have done. It is only their regret that they got nabbed doing it that bothers them. Well, that lesson is learned from Adam. Edward J. Young has a solid take on this. He writes, quote, "The sin and the transgression are hidden behind the consequences. The awareness of his nakedness was more keenly in Adam's mind than the fact that he had broken God's command. Sin causes us to think more of what happens and will happen to us than of the fact that we have disobeyed God. Even in this respect, sin is deceptive. that we are in a miserable condition because of sin is sad indeed. That we have broken God's commands is heinous and will lead to our complete punishment and everlasting death. And Dr. Young is right. That's a spot-on analysis of what Adam does and of what Adam says here. I especially like how he emphasizes that the sin and the transgression are hidden behind the consequences. The reason I like this is because it challenges me. I realize this is often what I do, and maybe you can relate to this as well. Let me give you a common example. If a Christian person enjoys conversation and likes to spice it up a little bit by talking to friends about other people, that often tilts straight into what the Bible calls gossip. And gossip is sin. But it is one of those sins that many Christians consider no big deal. In fact, we gossip on a regular basis. And one of the most popular spots for talking about one another behind each other's backs is church. More than once in the church in which I grew up, the pastor had to confront the sin of gossip emerging from what was called the hospitality center. It was a warm and friendly room just off the narthex, which led to the sanctuary. The believers who ran the hospitality center would come in early, prepare coffee and tea, and having purchased a couple of a dozen donuts from Dunkin' Donuts, they would present these as members, regular attenders, and visitors stopped on by. Sounds great. A very friendly place to be. And in part, that was true. But for a lot of the regulars, this became a place to sit and talk about people in the church. They gossiped. And all of that just before or just after they worshiped God. I'll not forget the Sunday morning I was in the room when two older women thought they were whispering a sharp criticism of some others, only to have the people they were gossiping about sitting right behind them on the back side of the same couch. When one of the older women looked around and saw them, she was stunned. She found out that her every word had been heard by the people she was sharply criticizing. And when she made an attempt at an apology, the emphasis was clearly on her sorrow simply at being caught. From that day on, it became apparent to those of us who observed her that she never stopped looking around and around about her before she carried on her gossip about others she was sure were out of the hospitality center. That is when she was confronted by the pastor. Now, we can critique her, that's fair, but in more modern times, how many of us have checked and rechecked our mobile phones to make sure they are off when we are out to lunch with a friend, ripping someone who is not there, but whose contact is in our phone? We want to make sure we can say what we want to say freely without being recorded or otherwise heard. It is not the sin of gossip that bothers us. It is getting caught that bothers us. The sin and the transgression are hidden behind the consequences. How true this is. And gossip is just one example. You and I both know we could think of a thousand other sins that fit concern more over the consequences of getting caught than deep despair over the fact we sinned against God and other people. In this verse, Adam expresses fear, all right, but he attaches it to his nakedness, not to his sin. So we should learn from Adam what not to do. Sometimes we learn from a positive example, and sometimes we learn from a negative example. I submit to you that whenever we sin, the best response is not to run and hide. It is rather to run to God. Yes, our sin makes us at best uneasy and embarrassed to be in his presence. We feel guilty. We feel ashamed. But better that than eager to escape from God, we are drawn further and further into evil and sin, and we end up hostile and hateful towards Almighty God. Because we can be sure of this. The more we sin and feel we are getting away with it, the harsher the discipline when comes the consequence. When we read the Gospels, we quickly learn that Jesus consistently invited sinners to come to him, to follow him, and to eat and drink with him. These were people who chose to expose their sin to Jesus. These did not run and hide from him. I am thinking of Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Let's learn from these sinners. I will read to you Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And Jesus went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. As Jesus passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Levi got up and followed Jesus. And it happened that Jesus was reclining at the table in Levi's house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following the Lord. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to Jesus' disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Notice that Jesus came to call the sinners. There it is. This is what we should do. We should run to Jesus and seek his forgiveness. We too are sin-sick and we need the great physician. We too are sinners who need the righteous one. Let us go to him. That was the desire of God when he came into the garden seeking Adam, "Where are you?" But instead of Adam running to his Savior, he instead hid out in the bushes. Instead of confessing his sin, he ran away from the Holy One who could forgive him his sin. Let's be like the tax collectors and sinners with Jesus, not like Adam with God. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.